All right, the time is 1:30. This is Dane Herbat with Travis County. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for April 2nd, 2024. Agenda item number one is a roll call.
Good afternoon. I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton, and I'll call the roll. Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff Heath, Delgado Acosta.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Paul Hodge, Austin ISD.
Present.
Mark Stavis, City of Austin.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
Gatton contractors we have joining us are Chris Gonzalez with BRICOM.
Present.
And that is it. We've established a quorum. Oh, I'm sorry. We have one person from AISD joining us now. Mike Lorstorfer with Austin ISD just joined the call, and we've established a quorum.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. Agenda item number two, citizen communication. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
All right, hearing none, moving on to agenda item number three, review and approve the minutes from the board meeting of March 5th,
24. Hey, this is Jaime. I got a comment on the minutes. I think for agenda item 4A in the minutes where we talk about the cost avoidance report, we should clarify that the benchmark pricing was attained from a DIR contract and not the DIR member. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yes, I will note that I will make that correction.
Thanks.
This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of March 5th, 2024, as amended by Jaime.
This is Steve with the hour. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the amended minutes. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll turn it over to management for a vote.
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Mark Stavis.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number 4, consent agenda. Is there any discussion regarding the agenda? If not, the board will entertain a motion. This is Dane. Motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve agenda item number 4, the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Okay, let's put it to vote. Management, please.
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Mark Stavis.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Okay, agenda item number 5, board chairperson update. 5A is Gatton fiscal manager duties and the formation of a fiscal manager service level agreement.
Hello, everyone. This is Frank, and this agenda item is to allow AISD and the board to speak about AISD fiscal manager duties and a possible service level agreement that could be in place. And just to a brief update for you all and some history regarding this agenda item. I've been in talks with AISD about fiscal agent responsibilities. And as you all should know, we turn over invoices to be paid to AISD. And in the process, we've learned working with AISD hand in hand through the years. Most recently, we've learned about a new system they have in place and that they have a considerable amount of resources now associated with AISD serving as the fiscal manager. So the purpose of this agenda item is to first determine whether AISD is willing and able to continue to perform the fiscal manager duties for Gatton, and what alternatives are available to Gatton in the event that AISD is not willing to do so in that role. If AISD is willing to continue serving Gatton in such capacity, the board should possibly direct SID or Gatton Legal to work with AISD and network management to draft a service level agreement for the fiscal manager duties. We're just thinking and talking about this, but a fiscal manager SLA should potentially include define responsibilities for such compensation and evaluations. I think that's going to be important. It is important that Gatton has a written agreement in place for such an important role. There hasn't one been in place historically. So AISD, since Gatton's inception, has taken on fiscal agent duties without an agreement being in place or without any compensation for doing so. And that's basically the history of it in a nutshell. So what we're currently seeing, and this is something everybody needs to be paying attention to and aware of, is that Gatton is currently experiencing and has been experiencing late payments being made toward invoices received. It's not something typical for Gatton historically, and it is of concern for Gatton business if we're having to pay late invoices. And I'll let Paul speak more to the agenda item and as a whole. So, Paul, if you would.
Yeah, so at any given moment when Sarah or Frank or anyone forwards us an invoice, the process of being paid, it touches roughly about 25 hands in that payment process. And it's all lumped in with also all of Austin ISD's invoicing and payments as well. So right now there's no priority in place for Gatton invoices. So they are just addressed in the matter that they're received. So, you know, talking with my leadership, we're open, our CFO is open to, you know, if we were to define SLA and Austin ISD to be compensated for this role, defining some FTEs that's their sole duty and job is the priority of Gatton invoices, and they have that end-to-end, I guess, access to process and receive those invoices. Still going through some checks and balances within the Austin ISD, you know, financial system to make sure compliance and everything. But overall, just decreasing those wait times and those processing and payment times. That's kind of what we're thinking, what me and Frank have discussed. Any questions?
So I'm not opposed for, you know, when a service is being provided, for there to be compensation for that service. That's, you know, how the world works. So I'm not opposed to those conversations. Now, I will say that Gatton's been around since 1995-ish.
Not contract dates, the SLA, sorry, the ILA dates back to 93, and I think Frank may know better. I think 96 was when the system started working.
So we, you know, these invoices have been paid on Gatton's behalf for roughly 30 years. And hasn't really necessarily been late or needed an FTE. So I'd be interested in understanding what's going on the AISD financial side that's causing the slowdown. Not sure that just a dedicated employee would be warranted unless we can show some kind of metric that show that our invoicing has significantly increased or become significantly more complex in some way?
I mean, it is the Austin ISD system that has become, you know, immensely more complex with receiving invoices. IT is now separated. So we have our own IT business office that handles the receiving of our invoices and processes it. But then it goes to, you know, accounts payable, goes to a buyer, you know, if there's RFP, we have a whole RFP team. That's Brenda Dalton that some of y'all have worked with. So there's just multiple layers that are now on, you know, the payment process within Austin ISD. I mean, it hasn't been a smooth process for us either. So we've been feeling, you know, the pain as well that Gatton's been feeling. So, I mean, we're kind of, you know, we're open to both. In all honesty, we're open to both, you know, separating from the fiscal agent or continuing being the fiscal agent if we were able to be compensated and we are able to dedicate some staff to that. And that's pretty much it. I mean, we're hoping to improve the process just for the district as a whole. But, you know, as I said in the tech meeting last time, that, you know, state legislature didn't do ISDs any favors throughout the entire state. So, you know, every ISD within the state is, you know, having to do severe cutbacks, staff reduction. We're trying not to do staff reduction. That's the last resort, budget reductions. But if it comes down to it, you know, staff reduction will come on the table, and that's not going to, they're going to, you know, target administrative level, clerical level before they start touching teachers in teacher positions. So if that were to happen, it we're going to see some slowdowns even more. So, and that's just the unfortunate part.
Gary, if any, for your thoughts.
I mean, I would say let's begin discussions and start working on what the vision of the SLA would be. I'm sure if it wasn't AISD who took it on, somebody else would be looking for some sort of FTE guarantee or reimbursement. So I'd just say let's begin the process of looking into it. What's it going to take? What needs to be done? And what the cost is going to be.
Well, as y'all know, there's been a lot of turnaround here in Austin ISD, leadership turnaround. We've gone through a couple of CTOs in the past couple of years. I do think that if Austin ISD were to continue being the fiscal agent, a defined SLA would kind of cement what those roles and duties are. If that leadership were to change, a superintendent change, CFO change, at least we'd have that to reference back to. It's just having to been, a re-education, each new leadership change of what Gatton is, what its importance is for not just Austin ISD, but for every entity involved. So I think that would definitely help having just a concrete SLA in place.
Do you have rough cost numbers, or has that not been explored yet?
Yeah, that hasn't been explored. I met with my CTO this morning, and I just told him that this meeting would be our first kind of discussion about this. So I'd gauge, the Gatton board, how all of y'all were feeling, and then we'd revisit that with our CTO and our CFO, if that was something that Gatton, wants to look at, Austin ISD continuing being the fiscal agent, or if, discussions are on the table of separating, then, that's something we'd take back to our leadership as well.
Dan, like I said, I think we just need to lay down what the expectations of the position are, and then we go from there. Then we approach AISD and say, here's what the expectations of the fiscal agent are going to be moving forward. We're going to need that for no matter what we do or who takes on those responsibilities. And then we just, have to put a dollar figure to it.
Yeah, this is Jaime. I kind of agree with Gary that regardless of who the future fiscal agent is, we should be working right now to establish the guidelines for that entity or group. So it does make sense for Sid to work with network management on drafting some sort of document to outline those roles and responsibilities.
Now, Sid, if we were to put something like this in place, can the board approve it, or would we need each individual agency to go?
Let me think on that. It depends on the form it takes. It's technically an interlocal agreement. And I'll have to think about whether it's sufficient because Gatton is itself, in many of its hats, a governmental body. And I'll need to figure out whether we can do that as a governmental body or whether it needs to be an ILA between all the entities.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, we do have precedent. Right, we have the management contract with the city, so that's promising. I agree with what's been said here, and Paul, I like your thoughts about kind of cementing the service through future uncertainty at AISD. It's unfortunate that we're having to supplement that, but I also think that we've been running for many, many years, basically in Gatton's entirety, without having this service documented or compensated in any way. So, perhaps the gig is up. I'd like to hear from any of the other board members what you all think.
This is Steve. I'm sure Sarah has a metric from how many invoices are putting in a month to see if it's grown substantially over the last year, 2 years, we're going to have that information as well. What's the workflow actually going through the system to be able to support an FTE? Those are the metrics we're going to need as well.
Sarah, is that something that you have? Do you have that data?
Yes, I have that data. I track all of the invoices by fiscal year. the amount of invoices hasn't increased that much, but like Paul said, the new financial system has caused a lot of extra work. And when I send invoices over, you know, they do have to go through a lot of hands before they get paid. And there are other aspects. The Treasury Department produces that monthly report that we give at the end of each board meeting. So they have to go through the general ledger report. Then there's the people in the procurement that handle the RFPs. So Austin ISD truly does do a lot of work for Gatton for this service.
Okay. Yeah, I just think documenting that, you know, for what they do for each individual process, whether it's, you know, going out for bid, for doing the invoices, because that way we've got a metrics of what we're looking to achieve.
Yes,
we just don't see that right now because it's not documented.
And Steve, that is exactly what my CTO has asked as well. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay. You know, just thinking out, there's one headcount, one FTE. It's not going to be able to get into each one of those unless he's got the ability to push the SLAs through and have each department meet their SLA. I don't know how one FTE would do that. But that's where we get into the discussion points on how this would actually work from an SLA perspective.
Yeah, and I think we're open to, like, it. Maybe it doesn't have to be a defined FTE. Yeah, I think the talks are still early on, you know, about exactly what we would be looking at. I mean, of course, you know, Brenda Dalton does the RFPs, but, you know, that we're not doing those every year or every day. So I think that's kind of where it will still touch other departments as needed. But just for the daily, you know, task, that's kind of where I think we're looking at, you know, trying to streamline that. And then the SLA would definitely help, you know, grease some wheels and get things moving along.
Okay.
I believe that the, if I'm not mistaken, the management SLA with the city outlines the equivalent of FTEs. I don't know if it outlines that there are dedicated FTEs, and mm-hmm. maybe I'm wrong about that. Do you remember, Sid?
I do not. I'd have to look at the language again. Sorry.
Okay. But that might give us a little bit of flexibility there.
It does, Dane. Yeah, it does, Dane. It defines the three FTEs and that are appointed to Gatton. You know, it's, and I'm not even certain, you know, Mike, I mean, Paul would be more apt to tell us, but, you know, and Sarah touched base on this, and Paul did because of the different, you know, the new system at AISD for this. What I see a lot of when I ask about invoicing, and it's over and over and over again, is how long it takes for them to just be entered into the AISD system. And when Paul said what he said earlier about that they all come in together for AISD, just like AISD invoice gets invoiced, you know, Gatton invoices mixed right in there with them. So there's no, like, priority or no red flag that, hey, this is a separate, this is a Gatton invoice. I mean, we see invoices that we submit get entered into the AISD system 3 weeks later. And I can tell you when that takes place, they're already late. They're already going to be a late invoice that's going to be paid. And so that's what I see. And I don't know, you know, I can't, Paul would speak to this, and we'll get into this more as we go over Sarah's numbers and our total number of invoices submitted, you know, monthly, as we go into the matrix and the figures surrounding the SLA, or interlocal agreement for those services. But I'm not sure it would warrant an FTE being appointed. And Paul touched base on that too, because with the new system, there's so many different departments where, for RFP sake, we still have Brenda Dalton, who we've dealt with, and that's our point of contact, and hey, that's who we check in with to see, make sure something, you know, is done with the RFP, that it's done or not, and we still have that. So, but with the fiscal agent standpoint, you know, it's so many different contacts for us to track down, and that can be very difficult. Where with the older system, we had typically one contact, and they did everything for us. And we just, you know, Sarah just worked with them, maybe two contacts at the most for many, many, many years. And now there's so many different groups that it takes a long time. And, you know, you got to think about this. If it takes 3 weeks for an invoice to get submitted, just entered into the system, And then it hits another department, and it takes 2 or 3 weeks there. And then it hits another department, and it takes 2 or 3 weeks there. This is what we're seeing.
Well, and I will say that, you know, yes, like traditionally, it does take a while, but if there's priority behind it, I could get a PO within a day. So, you know, that's how fast it could go. If there's priority set behind it, there's an ILA in place or an SLA that defines the turnaround time. But then it's also, if someone is dedicated there to follow through with that, I think that's where the FT discussion comes up. Because if you have someone that's appointed to that role and dedicated to following through with those POs and reaching out to all those different, you know, hands, you know, things can get pushed through quicker. So that's just one thing to note.
This is Jaime. I kind of wonder if there's any efficiencies to be had by considering having the fiscal agent be by the city, since they're already our network management agent.
I think you'd have to look at it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. You know, we have to have that path and at least take a look at it, I'm assuming. So
I think it would be a good idea just to revisit this, and let's take a look and see what exactly is needed and have those parameters defined. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, and we don't have a problem with that either, because since we get E-rate funds, us being the fiscal agent, it always gets a little sticky and it's always a little risky with us. So like, that's kind of why, you know, we're open to both, you know, paths, whether we continue to be the fiscal agent, carry on that risk of E-rate, or separate from it completely and know that E-rate secured. So that's kind of where Austin ISD stands on that, but we're open to either one.
Those seem like two different things, though. You know, acting as the fiscal agent and providing the financial budgeting, the holding the accounts, and basically we're following school district purchasing laws when Gatton does anything. That seems different than the E-rate.
It's just because of how unique Gatton is, and not every school district is doing it. It just introduces us to increased scrutiny by the federal government with E-rate.
Okay.
Just because how rare it is.
Well, I believe that there are some interlocal ramifications where Austin ISD is called out as the fiscal agent. And
the interlocal, I think Frank touched on this earlier. This is Sid. The interlocal really defines the fiscal role for AISD only in terms of the initial build-out, which AISD basically handled, and is silent about what happens after that. So what we've got is sort of common usage has gone on for the 20 or 5 or 30 years, and it does make sense to codify it in the form of an SLA with defined duties and so on. And it seems to me that several of the board members have proposed what seems to be the first thing that needs to happen, which is an internal discussion with network management and me and whoever from the board to define the duties, the tasks that we want to contract for with whoever ends up being the fiscal agent, and how to quantify those things. And then, assuming that we can reach some kind of a consensus and maybe even have two different approaches, one more inclusive of different duties and one less, something like that, we can talk to AISD and find out both whether they're receptive and what would be involved and how we would go about defining and quantifying the task. That's a conversation we'll have to have with anybody anyway, but the first step is for us to internally define what it is we want to do. For instance, right now, AISD, and presumably the possibility for any other fiscal agent, is heavily involved in our procurement. But that is not necessarily a financial function per se. That's something that has evolved. I can remember when I was first working for Gatton, meaning Frank and Sarah and I and then Carlos, pretty much drafted the RFPs and RFQs and were heavily involved in that. And we used AISD's portal to post them and take proposals in and so on. And if that were an internal preference, we could do that and not necessarily include a whole bunch of procurement tasks for AISD. That might simplify it both from their point of view and from ours. You might decide that's not what you want to do, that you want to continue to have the fiscal agent handle that. What I have found is that when another local government does procurement, they have a whole bunch of internal procedures which suit their particular needs and processes. And those processes are often more cumbersome than what we would do in-house for ourselves because we have so few to process. So there might be actually some savings, both in time and investment in the agreement, to look at doing procurement mostly in-house. We have form RFPs and RFQs that we modify fairly easily. So it's not a really big, hairy task to generate that kind of stuff. And Sarah and I have visited about that. I don't know what her current views are, but those are the kinds of things an internal conversation would take up. And then we would produce a list of SLA tasks that we could take to AISD and really try to quantify.
Okay, well, hearing that, Jaime, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think there could be some benefit and efficiencies by moving to the city, if the city is so willing. I'm not sure if that's something that the city would, then in that case, possibly we would just combine the management contract to add the fiscal duties as well.
We could do that.
Okay. What do you all think, city folks? Steve, Mark, do you think that that's something that the city would be interested in? We're talking high level, of course.
So are we talking about another FTE, or are we talking about additional duties to the existing staff already?
I think that would probably be a conversation that the city would have about what you would require to take on those duties once, like Sid mentioned, once we identify what those duties are and outline what those are. You would come back to Gatton and say, this is what it would take. That's typically what we've done in the management contract. When we've added duties, the city's gone back and said, okay, that, you know, we're going to need an FTE, or we don't need an FTE, but we'll need to increase yearly expenses or the yearly invoicing. So I suspect it would be potentially an FTE.
So I would have to fall back to obviously to Steve, but I think that we would have to, of course, visit to see what exactly is going to be involved. And I'm inclined to go the route you just mentioned, that is possibly a FTE. I think the current staff is doing a phenomenal job with what they have, and I think they get their hands full already. So, but let's take a look. I'll let Steve go ahead and.
I was just going to actually piggyback on that. I think staff are already pretty maxed out. So we probably are talking about, you know, a half-time or full-time, you know, full-time equivalent. So we'll have to take it back and do some analysis, and we'll do that before the next meeting so we can talk back on this.
Okay. Well, it sounds promising. I do think that the first step would be to outline what those duties are. Frank, I guess two things for you, sir. Could you and team start working on documenting what those fiscal agent duties are and need to be in terms of a service contract? And then do you have any concerns about the possibility of moving that over to the city?
No, I don't. The only thing I know is that I'm aware of is historically, you know, reading back through minutes and previous meetings prior to my time, and Gary may remember this as one of the original. He's been with Gatton since it's originated. But there was a time where AISD served as construction manager, and it was thought to be a conflict of interest. Nothing in writing other than what was captured in the minutes. So the fiscal agent was separated, and the construction manager at that time is what it was called. Same thing as network management team were separated. But I'm not concerned about the city standpoint for that, because from the city standpoint, we there's a finance team that we work with currently with the city, and it has nothing to do with the Gatton network management team. And so it would be completely separate, therefore not a conflict of interest. And I'll talk to Steve and Mark more about that, as discussions begin around this topic. So no, I mean, with that being, known and taken into consideration, I don't foresee any issues at all. I know Sarah worked really, really hard and spent a lot of time tracking AISD, invoices that are currently turned into AISD, because there's not, an appointed person. She basically is that appointed person, and she spends a lot of time tracking stuff that really would help her out and help our network management team not be so stressed, no matter who the fiscal agent is. It really, really help us out. But, So let me make sure I got that right, Dane. So I've got outline fiscal agent duties and what those are.
So, if regardless of whether it moves from AISD or not, even if it stays with AISD, we want to document what they're actually doing so that it could be codified into an appropriate agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll take a look.
Did any concerns about the conflict of interest conversation?
No, I'm not sure exactly where that came from. If that is a holdover from the construction era, which it sounds like it may be, it's a very different situation than now, where we're really contracting for services because we can't have our own employees under the ILA. So I'm thinking that if management can come up with a list of what is currently being done by AISD, that's a really good starting point. And then maybe we need to have an internal conversation about prioritizing what a fiscal manager must do at a minimum, and identifying other functions, for instance, procurement, if we decide to go that way, that we could take a laboring oar on and get a sense of what that baseline money management and accounting function really involves.
Great conversation. Any last comments? Anything else? What do we miss? All right. Well, let's bring this back to the next board meeting. Frank?
I've got it captured.
All right, 5B, Austin ISD 2022 bond construction impact.
Yeah, so this is Frank again. So management's working with AISD on cable relocation, on the cable relocations for construction at the new prefab building for Gatton Supernode at Travis High School. So basically, in a nutshell, what's taking place currently is that we're working with AISD. AISD submitted us an underground design for a conduit pathway and route that feeds off the right-of-way to get into this new prefab building. Carlos has designed that into Bentley, a red line version, and once that's approved and everything checks out, it will go into it'll come to a tech committee for review to answer any questions. Everybody likes the way it looks. Then and approves of it, then we can get into Bentley for real and make it a permanent solution for Gatton. At the March Tech meeting, we brought an option to vacate Travis High School altogether, and we learned quite a bit from that as far as the importance of Travis High from the members. So, being that Gatton deems it necessary to remain at this location, that we're fully aware of it now, and we're still working with AISD to do so. Also at the tech meeting, I had recommended, but it had been previously discussed before, recommended by a board member at one point. I just can't remember which one in particular. I think it may have been Dame or Jaime, actually, that we may want to appoint a board chair. Board chair may want to appoint a subcommittee for the AISD Supernode site projects, because, as you know, there's more in Travis High that's going to come up for discussion that impact Gatton. That way we can get additional input from other entities. And so, you know, just in looking at who all spoke up at the tech meeting, I would think that, you know, the importance of this, you know, being from ACC, AISD, Travis County, and DIR impact, that maybe we can get a subcommittee from either formed from either of those four, so that we can begin discussions with AISD moving forward for these sites, in particular right now Travis High. So absolutely, if a subcommittee was formed, absolutely AISD should be on it. I think that's pretty much common sense there. And then the rest of it would be, you know, whether or not it would come from Travis County, State of Texas, or State of Texas DIR. I'll leave that up to the board to discuss.
Yeah, I like obviously including AISD and then including other members who have a real vested interest in the supernode sites and those particular supernode sites. In particular, Travis, since that one seems to be coming up first.
Okay, does the rest of the board feel that it's appropriate to create a subcommittee?
Sounds good to me.
Yep, me too.
Yep.
Okay, well, in true Gatton fashion, we'll be looking for some volunteers. Does this interest anybody?
I volunteer.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. It does make a lot of sense to have AISD on there. We're going to have all the current info anyway.
This is Gary. I'll volunteer.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
How many do you need this, Steve?
Three.
We need three, and it needs to be less than 50% of the vote.
Right.
So.
You could put me on there since I'm an alternate. Go ahead and put me on there.
I think, Mark, that'll put us at over 50%.
Yeah. And also just FYI, AISD, I mean, City of Austin does not go into that location. Not that they couldn't discuss, you know, a supernova location and have valuable input, but they don't go into them, to AISD sites.
So AISD plus ACC equals in terms of voting rights?
Sid. Yeah. Sid, since the quorum is four members comprising.
I was just thinking about that. The quorum requirement is twofold. One, 50% of voting rights, and two, more than half of the actual members. Okay. So as long as we're three, we're not a quorum.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Sure.
Okay. So, Mark, if you'd like to participate, you're good to go. Apologies for that.
Yep, go ahead, put me on there.
Okay.
I thought Steve had expressed interest before Mark said something. Does DIR have?
Go ahead, put me on there. I do have interest in Travis from the state perspective. I don't know that we would have, just speaking for DIR, this is critical. But go ahead, put me on there, and I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, I see where the job's at right now. And Paul, you may want to give more input to this, but from the subcommittee standpoint, I don't see us meeting a whole lot until, you know, we start breaking ground. We'll do an initial kickoff meeting, and we can decide from there how often we want to have meetings, which we'll probably ramp up. But yeah, it would be great to have these members with this vested interest, in particular, so that they're aware of the schedule. What our intentions are as we make them aware, as we make the tech committee aware also, these particular members will, you know, I don't see maybe total, maybe 4 to 6 meetings and we'll have this done.
Yeah, Frank, I agree. You know, the pressing one right now is just the underground conduit pathway, and that proposed design, I have a contractor that's, quoting it out right now for our review. So once we have that, then, you know, we'll bring that to the subcommittee to kind of discuss. But pricing wise, that's Austin ISD's burden to bear. But design wise, we all need to have a part in that.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, just roughly rough figures here, but 4 to 6 meetings between now and spring of 2025. So it won't be a huge obligation off your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
So Frank, we've got AISD,
ACC,
and then DR. Are you suggesting DIR or the city? Just to clarify.
No, Steve just said he's got it.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, and question for Sid, we do not need a vote to establish a subcommittee.
No, it's your duty.
Okay. All right. Well, let it be done. Thank you all. All right, any further discussion on the AISD bond construction?
No, that was it for me.
Okay, well, let's move on to agenda 5C and 5D. We've got the Gatton Backup NOC decommissioning and the Gatton Backup NOC relocation.
Yeah, so for the backup NOC decommissioning at the March check meeting, and we're still at the same level right now since then. Not much has changed on the project. I've reported, you know, besides some growth in the engineering aspect of it, but I reported that an associate project manager from the Convention Center demolition group reached out. Well, not for demolition or group. He works with Public Works. He's responsible for the demolition of the Austin Convention Center. But he reached out to me in regarding the location of the fiber around the area and wanted to know about Gatton. So I've been working with that team from the Public Works Department, working through multiple non-disclosure agreements with various parties. So they have contractors that are they're in discussions with for services there right now, in particular engineering services for sewer work that will take place, identifying you know, telecommunication lines and other utilities and utilities in the area. So that is what we're doing. Let me just make sure I get all this covered. Read through some notes here. Yeah, we're doing this to work to ensure that Gatton's board approved fiber reroute will not be impacted by the demolition. That's really my main goal, is we work with them, and also Carlos and Sarah are aware of this, but more so Carlos and Sarah, because you know, we're out in the field working with these guys from time to time, making sure, not currently out in the field, but will be in the future. But from print to print, we're making sure they're aware of our reroute that got approved by the tech committee that will be coming up, that we're currently engineering for, since all fiber has been received. And we're moving forward with that as far from a decommissioning aspect. Is there any questions in regards to it? That may not have been completely clear to you, and I apologize. I've got mixed notes on that one. Not much has changed other than them reaching out to me and me working on non-disclosure agreements with them. That's basically it.
Hey, Frank, this is Jaime. Has there been any discussions with network management or others in the city about getting possible, construction make ready costs from the project?
Construction make ready costs. Okay. Can you define that a little bit more, Jaime, as far as
like perhaps as part of the demo, the project to demo the convention center, perhaps they could provide some of the splice out cost or pay for some of the splice out costs that Gatton has?
Yeah. So I think that's one of the three concessions. Is that what you're alluding to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I will let Mark or Steve, I think, maybe have a little better beat on that one right now. The three concession items, Steve, that's what Jaime's referencing.
So I packaged those up, and we've discussed them internally with the executive team for CTM. However, we're not at the point yet for negotiation, obviously, but I think we can be supportive. Here's what's going to happen, though. The CIO for City of Austin is going to take those three concession items to the chief of staff for the city manager's office. I believe that's happening, if not at the end of this week, next week. And that's sort of just preparatory, not that any action would be taken or should be taken, but just sort of preparatory so that the city is aware of in advance that those things will be asked. And that's basically where it is. So once Sid starts reaching out to to Clark and Company, those items will be a surprise to the city.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you.
Any other questions in regard to that agenda item? Okay, hearing none. I got the next one, Daniel. Is it okay? I take it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the next one is 5D Gatton Backup NOC Relocation Associate Agreement and Subcommittee Update. Since the March Tech meeting, management has learned that due to an error on the part of the City of Austin Preservation Office, just human error here, the agenda item for Fire Station 4 did not make it onto the April 3rd City of Austin Historical Land Commission meeting for consideration. Therefore, it will move to the May 1st meeting for approval. And you know, they just apologize to us. Just one of the personnel over there just dropped the ball completely on it. I feel very assured that they're going to be getting it into for the May 1st one, and I'll be reminding them to do so. Also, in the meantime, and this was also another recommendation that was made previously, and I think it may have been Dane or Jaime that made it, and it was a good idea at the time, and it still even seems more to it today, because if there's any type of silver lining from this, if you think, okay, well, my initial thought was, oh my gosh, it didn't make it onto the April 3rd land commission meeting, so we're going to lose a month here. But if we are able to have Sid go ahead and engage City of Austin Legal on a draft for an ILA for this site, that will help. Then the month's not lost. And I can tell you, and I can't guarantee it. So don't hold me to it. But I feel like, with them dropping the ball on not getting this on the commission in the first place, and from everything that I've talked to them about, and the major, major factor in play here is that we're not actually doing any construction inside or onto Fire Station 4, the building itself, which is what is actually preserved, then we're going to clear the commission. I feel pretty strongly in that. I can't guarantee it, though, and I wished I could, but that's just not how this thing works. But I don't think it's going to be too awful hard to get Sid to reach out to Clark or the City of Austin Legal to get the ILA drafted. And I don't think between now and the May 1st board meeting, there'll be a whole lot of activity that'll take place between them to do so. But at least we can get the ball rolling over the next 30 days.
Yeah. And this is Steve. I just wanted to add on to what Frank said. We really don't want to lose that month, and I don't think we need to. There's a high confidence level between our contact at Fire, as well as throughout the rest of the city, that this is not going to be a problem. So meaning Fire Station 4 has the backup knock. So I feel like we're going to win if we continue the ball moving forward with the negotiation phase, and then that approval comes in from the preservation group. Historic site group, and even if for some reason it didn't, I think the time spent is time well spent. So I really agree with Frank. I just think it's time well spent to just proceed on course as if we'd had that.
Sid, do you need anything from us to any guidance or anything to get that started?
No, I've had a preliminary I would say conversation, but it's an email exchange with Clark. And I think I've told you before, we're both in agreement that from a legal documenting point of view, the current SLA is a good template. And the big difference is going to be defining the location and the specific space. And that's subject to whatever.
And the concessions that we're asking for.
Right. So I don't think the drafting is going to be hard once the conversations are had about the concessions and the location. And once that's defined, then I think we cut and paste and we're okay.
Okay, I mean, it sounds like we're still making progress. Do we have I believe the answer is yes, and I believe this has already been presented, but I want to ask it again because it's been a while. Do we have a finalized design on the Fire Station 4 location to include the building, pathways, everything like that?
This is Frank. So what we have is the layout of the building from a pre-construction design. It'll need to get defined and approved by, you know, presented to the technical subcommittee from the subcommittee that's been appointed has seen it and reviewed it. It'll need to go to the tech committee for recommendation to the board for approval. So technically, at a board level, you don't have that yet, but it'll be coming. We're prepared to present that. We're just waiting. Have been waiting to get approval from the.
Do we need any type of engineering stamping? And also, are we going to be partnering with Public Works on the construction?
Yes, that's two really good questions, and I think that's going to one of those is going to come through negotiations with the city of Austin, and if there's an ILA formed like there was between the convention center. Because as those of you that were here when that took place, you may remember that the city, you know, Public Works was heavily involved with the management of that build out. I will tell you that one of the facility managers for fire with the city of Austin had already recommended right off the get go from our meetings, you know, 6 months ago, original meetings that Public Works is involved, because he said that any work that takes place on their properties construction wise, he's very familiar and it's common for Public Works to be involved. I told him that, you know, that's an option, but you know, something that would have to be negotiated with Gatton, because for those of you who remember, there for Convention Center there was an additional cost to the project because City of Austin Public Works was involved. Something to keep in mind with this being a prefab building that's coming in, it's a turnkey product. You know, the layout, the rack layouts, and things of that nature. What's actually inside the prefab building, we'll need to absolutely bring to the tech committee for a review and approval. The building itself, where how it's set, whether it's set on, you know, some kind of road base form or, you know, gas crushed concrete or slab, or how electrical is going to come over and feed it, how the conduit duct bank is going to come off the pole line outside, which is what we're looking at. You know, all that stuff's going to have to be approved from a City of Austin standpoint and then brought to Gatton so the Gatton can approve it. There's two locations on the fire station property that we can put this prefab building. We don't have permission from fire yet to put it on either one of those locations until this Landmark Commission approves it. Once the Landmark Commission approves it, I have a word from Fire Chief that he'll, you know, they'll decide, they'll let us know where we can put it out on the property. And then once we know that, we'll start doing the conduit design and start working with AE to get that figured out and how they're going to, you know, bring power over to it, exactly what's needed, generator, mineral coolers, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry. Say again.
Or did you mean Public Works?
So fire will decide where the building's going to sit on the property. And I think fire is going to dictate whether or not Public Works is going to be involved with the management of the construction on site. It's going to be a little bit of management if, you know, being it's a prefab building and it's being hauled in all in one piece and set down, or, you know, all together and built. I mean, this thing is constructed in a day. So I don't think, you know, if you remember correctly, I think it was don't quote me on this, but somewhere around $175K that was quoted and paid for by Gatton for the build out and the inside the Gatton knock that you know, Gatton funded to City of Austin Public Works. I don't think that would be the case necessarily on this one because the prefab building, you're not pulling as many permits as you were inside the Austin Convention Center. You can imagine all the permits and everything we had to, building permits, everything required. So yeah, Dana, I think I answered your question. I hope I did, but yeah, Public Works is in play. They may or may not be called in. I think that'll have to be negotiated between the City of Austin and Gatton.
Okay, so fire is going to determine where it's located and whether or not Public Works is involved. If Public Works is not involved, who is going to be doing the project management and the design and get all the approvals?
So if project management is not involved, there's a City of Austin data center group that network management team will be working with in between those two groups. We're going to be looking at the possibilities of those two groups, myself and the network management team, along with data center operations managing the project. I would manage it from
Fire will, if Fire says that you don't need to include Public Works, then they're giving you the authority, you and the data center team, authority to manage this and complete this project.
That's correct. And I'll be clear to them on that. There's also a group called, there's several groups within the city, Dane. There's Building Services. That would be one team involved with it. There is, City of Austin Security. That's another team that would be involved with it. And they're still going to be involved whether or not Public Works manages it. The only difference is if Public Works manages, they take all those departments and work with them. If Public Works doesn't manage it, then it would be us and data center operations that would be contacting, Building Services, City of Austin Security, Austin Energy for power, for electrical services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It would take a lot off the network management team's plate if Public Works manages this project. I don't think it would be such a high cost as it was at the convention center. But we'd have to see that again, and Gatton would have to agree to, to those terms of services as outlined in the ILA for Public Works to be the managing member of the project. I don't know if you remember the original ILA. Sid may be able to speak more to this, but the ILA for the knock at the convention center was an amendment made for Public Works to be added after the fact. And we had gone through IMEG for an engineering firm for engineering of it. And then Public Works went out for an RFP for the build of it. And so we'll have to look into that. Also, if Public Works is not involved, I think our contractors would be heavily involved with, providing us costs for the placement and trenching and et cetera.
Okay, well, I think that we need that decision made sooner rather than later. I remember that in addition to the cost from Public Works for the project management resources, there was also a lead time getting on their calendar. And this is a time sensitive project here. So I want to make sure that we have all of these questions answered sooner rather than later so that we can, get the construction going. Because as of right now, we're just waiting for approval, but I'm also hearing that approval is pretty much a formality. We just need to get on that May agenda. So what are we missing here? And has the subcommittee had these conversations?
The subcommittee's been more engaged and involved on the design and the layout of the building, and not so much the involvement from a City of Austin Gatton negotiation standpoint. But I'll take that down as an action item to address that with the subcommittee and set up a meeting to begin those discussions. To ask the City of Austin Fire, the facilities, yep. The facility manager with City of Austin Fire, it's a mouthful, if Public Works will indeed need to be engaged or not. I should have an answer on that pretty quick, I feel like.
We need a plan. And I think the subcommittee should be asking these questions and, driving towards getting a finalized plan here. If Public Works is going to be involved, they're going to take on a lot of the responsibilities here, but that comes at a price, right? And it comes at a financial price and a time price. If we're going to be doing it ourselves, by we, I mean getting management and a combination of the data center team, we need to make sure that they are tracking all of the to-dos and coming up with a plan on how to get this done. If we need engineering, then are we going to go out to an IMEG or something like that? If we don't need engineering, that's great, but we need to know. There sounds like we need, it sounds like there's some gaps here that we probably need to start planning for.
Yeah, I've written down, I think Public Works involvement is going to be the trigger here. We were hoping to get it on this April 3rd commission and find out whether it was approved. And then I was going to reach out to Fire, reach out to Sid, say, hey, contact City of Austin Legal. Hey, Fire, do we need to get contact and engage Public Works at this time? And that's where we were at. We can go ahead and start, being that it got pushed out a month, it's not going to hurt anything for us to go ahead and start reaching out. Fire may say, hey, we're not going to give you any word on whether or not Public Works is going to be engaged or not for this project until the Landmark Commission approves it. That's what they told me previously until, you know, we went through, we discussed the Homeowners Association, we discussed the historical preservation, we discussed, we had another hurdle we went through. So fire has been step by step by step following this protocol that they have set in place. And I'm sure they have it set in place for reasons. So they're not committing to Public Works involvement at this time, but I'll certainly try to rekindle that. But to your point, Dane, you know, there is other options that are on, you know, on the table as far as, or could be on the table as far as Public Works says no. Like our, you know, our contractors have contracts with various engineers, engineering firms out there that would enable us to negotiate with them. As when I say we, I mean Gatton, to negotiate with our current vendors for engineering that would be required for this fire station. For we do have, I don't want you to think, you know, there's nothing actually taking place out here. We do have sewer work that's already in the works for this location, because, you know, Jaime had brought this up in a previous meeting from the subcommittee, and then we, from that subcommittee meeting, we brought it to a tech committee meeting and got the approval to proceed with doing utility work out there. So the sewer work's already taken place and has been for a little bit over a month now. So we're not behind on that. And that's some work that is, you know, taking place that has to be done no matter what, whether or not Public Works is involved. That's underway and is pretty close to wrapping up. So we'll have that information, whether Public Works is engaged or not, to take the next step forward.
And Frank, I think this is Jaime. If you have a conversation with fire regarding Public Works involvement, it needs to be clear that it's for any site prep, underground construction of conduits, and potentially like sidewalks and things to the shelter itself. We would have a vendor be placing the shelter. So it's not like Public Works is going to be involved with that part, but they're potentially involved with the site prep.
Yeah.
Yep. Does that vendor provide beautification services? In other words, you know, kind of making it blend in, or is it just going to be a monolith?
Yes. And once again, that's something that we've discussed with, I mean, not once again, but, you know, like the other answers, that's something we're waiting for fire to tell us. There's basically four different versions of a building material type that they would want there. The preservation office definitely has spoken up to this, to that question that you just asked, Dane, about the aesthetics of the building. I've sent them the four different types of this quick set prefab building. You know, one of them's stucco, one of them's brick, one of them's like I'm sure you've all seen it from different MDFs or buildings. AT&T uses it a lot. It's that little stone, little round stone on the outside of it. And then there's another one that's just like a solid concrete. It's a real popular version of, you see houses done in it right now where it's white and black with the black trim. That's the fourth option. So those are all on the table, and the preservation office and the fire department are, Austin City Fire are in discussions about what option to go with. And from a cosmetic aesthetic standpoint, that is the case. If they, you know, far as slight site cleanup is concerned, you know, we'll be holding our vendors responsible for that, or the vendor placing it.
Does that include landscaping also?
You know, once again, it depends on, you know, what the prefab building is set on. If it's set on, you know, there's different option, road base, crushed concrete slab, set on the grass. There's a lot of different options for it. You know, we're gonna have to work that out with the preservation office, and proceed forward with that. Carlos, you may want to speak to that.
Just real quick. This is Carlos. We have there is no landscaping as of yet. That is a component that we would be looking into it. We needed to make sure where the building is actually going to be located. and then bring somebody that would do some, you know, beautification, if you will, kind of blend it into the neighborhood. As far as the other stuff, we do have plans for all the cabling to go into the location. We have them already. We actually have presented it to the tech committee. And I'm sorry. A lot of most of this, whatever underground that we are going to be having here, it's not going to be sub, but Austin Energy, once we put a service for request for service at this location, which will be separate from the fire station, they will engineer the underground, or if we request it underground, they will do it. If they might be able to do it aerially. So those two things, they will take care of that. Same with Texas Gas. Anyone that does that, even if we go with a standalone tank that we would have to refill every once in a while, that's a different thing that we could do.
Everybody would, to Carlos's point, and that's a good point, Carlos, but from a landscape standpoint, everybody that does the work, you know, where AE trenches over to it, they're going to landscape their own trench. Gas company trenches over to it, they're going to landscape their own trench. That's what they do. And then as far as whether or not the around the area is going to be set, you know, if you pour a slab, you have to have footers, you know, you have to dig down. So there would be some excavation involved with that. And as far as landscaping around the building that's being placed, it's just like if I set a building in my backyard and it requires slab, I would expect the contractor to, whoever did the slab, to do the landscaping and, you know, after they get done with it, to make sure the water drains properly away from it. Things flow the way they're supposed to flow. To Carlos's point, we just don't know, you know, what that landscape is going to look like until we know what they want as far as a foundation for it, and where they want the building. But yeah, that's a good question, but it's definitely going to be captured in, you know, in the bid for the placement of the facility itself. And so those are all great questions that, Paul, I don't know if you're taking note on that, but, you know, for the subcommittee for, Travis High School, great questions. Those would all apply. Any other questions?
Hey, Frank, for the Landmark Commission meeting, do we know if we need Gatton representation there, or do we think this will be on some sort of consent agenda?
Yes. So I'm waiting to hear back from that point of contact. The same one that just basically dropped the ball on this was not able to give me that information last week as well, either, when they told me they dropped the ball. So I'm waiting to hear back. I'll know soon, hopefully by the end of this week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. That's a good question. Thanks for a reminder. I'll get a subcommittee. It sounds like it's due. Dane had a lot of really good questions there that we can all cover. I took notes of them. So as a subcommittee, let's get all that on the table so we can update the, you know, make sure the board chair is aware of those answers, and more clarity around those, more information together. And hopefully by tech committee or next board meeting, we'll have a little bit more of that lined up. I don't think until the May 1st meeting, if fire, you know, holds true to where it has been for over the last few months, they want full clearance, full permission from these different groups. And this Landmark Commission is our last hurdle. So I think you know, if they say, hey, you can place it here before May 1st and you can put it on a slab, we want you to put it on a slab, you know, then the ball really starts rolling. And then, you know, we can tell AE that, hey, it's going to be, you know, you're going to need to step up 4-inch conduits and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're getting there. It's just, you know, this one's going to take a little bit of time. Great things for consideration. Anything else? All right, here none. Dane, you want to take 5E or?
Yeah, it looks like we're ready to move on. So we've got a property damage claim against J.D. Abrams, Lone Star Paving.
This is Sid. Brief update. Nothing's really changed. New lawyer, I think I told you about it, Lone Star, which is the first subcontractor. Damage was done by the subcontractor. The notion was that the three upper tier contractors have made a demand on the subcontractor, the culprit, to indemnify them for their contracts. And we're waiting to see how that plays out and whether that encourages the culprit to seek to settle. If there's not movement in the next month or so, we will consider whether to take the first step in the litigation, first actual movement in the litigation, and perhaps ask the court, the trial court, for what's called a scheduling order, which is just what it sounds like. It puts deadlines for all the different phases and signals the beginning of the actual litigation process. But I'll let you know whether we hear anything back from them over the next several weeks.
Any questions on that? Okay, hearing none, we'll keep moving along. Item six is network manager's update. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, yeah, this is Frank again. So for if you look in your handouts for the project status report, you'll note that on Gatton active projects, we have the A1 and Spice case audit that's underway. And then we have Super Ring South project segment 6, 5, and 2 that is scheduled for completion for splice and testing. That's really good news for us to get those done and knocked out this fiscal year. And then we have a C1N emergency repair. We've been on hold on that one. That was a gunshot repair. For those of you that remember, if you can remember that, it was under during the moratorium. And now we can get in there and make this repair. It's going to be a temporary repair. We had to roll some fibers due to the moratorium, but we got everything where it needs to be, and we've gotten scheduled for the permit repair to take place for now, because it requires such a large permit. Temporary repair is going to take place to get off that rolled fiber to lower the risk to the GATT network, and then small repair, and then we're going to come back with a permit repair, which is a much larger project, and we're anticipating a proposal for that to come in any day now. If Carlos, could you please make sure the handout is up for that?
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Regarding the election blackout request, that is for non-emergency work. If there is an emergency work, such as a tear down, gunshot, or whatever, then we certainly understand moving forward with the repair.
Okay. Okay. All right.
No. We wouldn't ask you to just roll over and, you know, please in the future go ahead and make those temporary repairs. We just ask that, you know, non-emergency, so, you know, just kind of maintenance type of things that are not critical, to put those off until after the blackout window.
Okay, I got you. So noted. Thank you, Dane, for that. Yep.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for helping keep us clean during the election.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Make sure. Okay. Yeah. So everybody, the handouts are up there now. So just make sure. So that's it for Gatton active projects right now. We've been in a lot of meetings about the ones that you see in black. There's a lot of movement taking place right now. You know, it's that time of year. A lot of work out there taking place. Perfect weather for it. So we're getting it done. So you'll see more and more come up. A lot of stuff's moving along pretty good now for us. For Gatton completed projects, we have the Super Ring South, which is the next page down, page 2. It's Gatton Super Ring South upgrade project segment 4, which completed. And then we had C1N UT termination, Northeast Early College High School. Any questions on those two? Okay. And I believe the last one we have is an entity specific active projects, which was, you know, approved by Gatton, which is the Super Ring South City of Boston CAPCOG new node install that is scheduled. And you can see the dates there it's scheduled for. And that's the last item I have to report on the project status report. Is there any questions about any of it? Okay, here none. Sarah?
Yes, this is Sarah. For the job budget report, we are tracking 54 jobs totaling $3.4 million. So far in FY24, 23 jobs have been completed, and we've been invoiced for $727,000. We currently have $2.7 million encumbered for those remaining 31 jobs. Also, for FY24, we've received $162,000 in project reimbursements and damage claims. And Carlos, if you could please go to the second page. That leaves us with a fund balance bottom line of $692,000. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, sounds like there's no questions. We'll go ahead and keep moving in the agenda. Item number 7, it is executive session. We did not require that today. Therefore, we do not require item 8, which is the updated roll call. Moving on to 9, discussion and possible action regarding the financial report.
Yes, yeah, so, Sarah.
Yeah, oh. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun on that one. Sorry, go ahead.
This is Sarah again. This budget report is for the month ending February 29th. We had a beginning FY24 fund balance of $1.745 million. We've taken in $2.43 million of revenue to date, expended $1.4 million, so that left us with an ending fund balance for February of $2.77 million. And then you add in that $2.1 million of emergency reserved, and that left Gatton with a total bank account of $4.8 million. Please let me know if you have any questions. This report is 9 pages.
Sarah, this is Sid. When is the last time we determined the appropriate amount for the emergency reserve balance?
I believe that was back in 2021, Sid. I think we decided we would review that every 5 years or so.
Thanks.
Are you having inflationary thoughts?
That was what prompted the question.
Similar to the conversation that we had around the network manager spending authority and, you know, the impact of inflation, it might behoove us to take up that conversation about the emergency reserve. What does the board think? Is that something that we want to entertain in a future session?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay, well, Frank, yeah, let's throw an agenda item for next month to discuss the reserve balance and the impact that inflation could have on that.
I so noted.
Good call, Sid. Any other discussion regarding the Gatton budget report? All right, hearing none, we are at agenda item number 10, meeting and action item summary.
Yeah, so this is Frank. Sarah, sorry, I jumped the gun on you on this, and I'm just trying to get this one out and get some help if need be, because I had some different input here. Not different, but input from different people. So first one is outline fiscal agent duties, what they are, and get a minimum of the functions for the fiscal agent. So I've got that listed down. Another person said same thing, document AISD fiscal agent responsibilities, list of what is current for AISD. I also noted list of, I recorded as an action item for determination of whether or not it would require an FTE a full-time FTE, half-time FTE, or exactly what that would, that role would require. Let's make sure I got everything here. And then Public Works for Fire Station 4, Public Works involvement, whether they be engaged or not, I'm going to try and find that out before now in the next tech meeting. If Fire will let me know one way or the other, that would be great. And so I'll follow up to the tech committee, and then there from there to the board, or if at the very least, I should be able to let the by the next board meeting, let the board know. As far as Public Works, you know, a little bit deeper into that discussion, the Public Works involvement verification of that would involve site prep, underground conduit, sidewalks, right away, etc. And then I took another note here, and I'm already sending an email out to that subcommittee. That's one of the reasons I jumped the gun. I probably shouldn't have done that, but I started formulating an email so I wouldn't forget for, you know, talk about items for that came up, such as the landscaping. That was a really good question, something I hadn't really thought about previously, for this build out at Fire Station 4 and for engineering involving it, you know, what all takes place, and just from all aspects of the build, what we'll need to, you know, I'm going to create a list of all aspects of the build, you know, on top of what we've created, you know, like landscape will be added for sure. And then, you know, the type of structure, if I get a commitment from Fire and from Preservation Office, whether it's stucco, brick, etc., that would be good. So I've got that down as an action item cumulatively, and I am trying to schedule, just a heads up, subcommittee members, I'm going to be trying to schedule a meeting weekend next week, so I'm sending an email out after this meeting. You'll see it for availability. And then lastly, I've got an emergency reserve balance discussion for to be held at the next board meeting. And that's it. If I missed anything, please let me know.
All right. Moving on to agenda item number 11. Confirm date, time, and location for the next board meeting, May 7th, 2024 at 1:30 p.m. How was that right? City of Austin permitting?
Yes. This is one of the four meetings that will be held there.
Okay. Or via Microsoft Teams. Sir, I might need your help remembering that. I'll try to make note of that.
I'll send you the
thank
information.
Thank you all for your participation, and this meeting is adjourned at 2:57 p.m.
Thank you, Dane. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Thank you.
Thank you.